Hi everyone, you're listening to Bridging the Gap, and I'm Eileen Foley, here with GASB Chair Joel Black to kick off our next episode. Joel, thanks for being here again with us.
Always great to be with you, Eileen. We've had a number of these in a row now. I know at the GASB we've had a lot of due process documents out, but this is the third that we've released in a relatively short period of time. So this podcast is going to be on subsequent events for which we have an exposure draft of a proposed standard out now. And Matt's going to talk to Emily Paul, who is a senior project manager at the GASB and the project leader on our subsequent events project.
That's great. And I know we had Emily recently on a different project, so I look forward to hearing from her again.
She's been busy.
She is busy. I know that you just said the exposure draft is out for stakeholder review. Can you just remind our listeners of the comment deadline on that?
Comment deadline for that is February 21st of 2025. We'll always take comments. Just please get us your feedback however you can.
Sounds great. Okay, this is an important project, so I'm excited to hear more. Let's go ahead now and pass it over to our host, Matt Broder, who's sitting down with Emily now.
Thank you so much, Eileen and Joel. I really appreciate it, and it's great to be here with you, Emily. Nice to see you again. We're here to talk about the GASB project on subsequent events. And I understand that the origins of this project lie in GASB Statement 56. So I'd like to start by having you briefly remind our listeners what is in Statement 56 and when was it issued?
Absolutely. So Statement 56 actually covers a few different topics, and one of those is subsequent events. All of the topics, including subsequent events that are in Statement 56, were originally addressed in AICPA literature. And the objective of Statement 56 at the time was to incorporate that AICPA literature into the GASB literature. So while Statement 56 was issued in 2009, the requirements that are related to subsequent events in that statement actually dates back to that AICPA literature, which was issued in the 1970s.
So that is some pretty old literature, given how much the world has changed in 50 years.
Correct. And that was, you know, one of the reasons it really hadn't been revisited in light of the GASB's conceptual framework and really brought in with very little minor modifications. So this was our chance to take another look at it.
Yeah. So I guess my next question would then be sort of almost like the why now question. I mean, since it was issued, what has the GASB been hearing from stakeholders, maybe about some of the challenges that stakeholders are having in implementing this particular standard?
Sure. So we did our pre-agenda research on this topic and re-examining Statement 56. And it's kind of interesting because we sought feedback from preparers and auditors on the perceived difficulties of applying the standards. And really, they didn't think it was too difficult to apply. But then it was juxtaposed with our research that showed significant diversity in practice regarding the types of events being disclosed and the information that was being provided about those events. So while there wasn't maybe some perceived difficulty there, it did signal to us that potentially the standards lacked clarity and that there was some room for improvement to enhance that consistency and comparability about the information.
Yeah, so that's interesting. So individual stakeholders say, no problem, but when you look across all the different outcomes that you're getting, it looks to the GASB like there's a problem.
That's what the pre-agenda research indicated.
Yeah, interesting. So let's get a clearer definition then about what we mean when we talk about subsequent events in the accounting sense. So what is a subsequent event in accounting terms? And maybe you can provide some real-life examples of what a subsequent event would be?
Sure. So broadly, a subsequent event is any transaction or other event that's occurring after the date of the financial statements, but before the date those financial statements are available to be issued. Some of those subsequent events, some of those things that occur during that time frame affect what's reported in our basic financial statements. And the proposals resulting from this project really intended to clarify which subsequent events need to be reported and how they should be reported. Examples of things that can occur during that time frame include things like debt transactions or natural disasters, and the proposals provide guidance on how and when those should be reported in the financial statements.
So in the government context, I mean, a lot of governments, their fiscal year ends on June 30th, so that's when the financial period would end. Maybe the financial statements aren't actually available until some months after that. Mm-hmm. And in between, the library burns down, and you know, now there's an expense that wasn't understood at the time, and so that would be an example of a
right subsequent event. Something that might need to be disclosed.
Yeah.
And you know, in the government environment too, it does play a specific role given the varying lengths of time that we see between the year end
right.
and the date that the financial statements are available.
They're not always reporting at the same same time. Yeah, got it. So can you give us a top line summary of what is actually in the exposure graph that's being released?
Absolutely. So aside from broadly defining subsequent events and specifically defining that time frame, I'll pause there briefly. We've talked about that subsequent events time frame, and this proposal actually modifies the date that time frame concludes. So in our existing literature and in Statement 56, the end date, if you will, of that time frame is the date the financial statements are issued. The proposal would modify that to be the date the financial statements are available to be issued. So a small change there, but that would extend also beyond Statement 56 and to anywhere within the GASB literature that addresses that time frame.
Mm-hmm.
So we've defined subsequent events and its time frame broadly. And then we've also defined two types of subsequent events, recognized events and non-recognized events. And then going forward with the non-recognized events, the exposure draft includes the specific information items that should be disclosed about those events.
The non-recognized events.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Okay. So are the recognized and the non-recognized events treated differently under your proposal?
Exactly. So a recognized event is something that happens during that subsequent events time frame, but that affects the amounts that are reported as of the financial statement date. Those recognized events really inform conditions that existed at the financial statement date, and therefore the measurement of those estimates incorporate the effects of those events.
Yeah.
On the other hand, non-recognized events are events still happening during that same time frame, but that don't relate to conditions that existed at the financial statement date. Mm. So they're affecting really the next financial reporting period,
right.
But it's happening before the statements are issued. And so in those cases, the board believes that information is essential to users, and so there's a disclosure about those non-recognized events. And different from Statement 56, specifically with respect to the non-recognized events, the board in this proposal has identified specific events that should always be disclosed if they happen during that time frame.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also room for professional judgment if there's other events that happen during that time frame that a government believes is essential to also disclose in the notes to their financial statements.
So it sounds like in general, given the diversity in practice that the board is seeing, what you're really trying to do here is lay down some markers that will point people, even if they say right now they're not having a hard time implementing this standard, point them sort of more in the same direction,
mm-hmm.
so that you reduce the diversity. Is that the idea here?
Exactly. So this is intended to create some comparability in the types of events that governments are disclosing, and then also specifically what information they're disclosing about it. So
right.
Statement 56 was fairly broad and vague with respect to then what should be in the disclosure. And
right.
this proposal specifies that a description of the event as well as
right.
an estimate of the effect should be disclosed.
Right. So these are new terms, recognized and non-recognized?
The terms aren't new.
Yeah.
And the foundational concepts aren't new either.
Right.
But it's really more specificity around what constitutes right. a non-recognized event.
Right. Greater clarity around that. And mm-hmm. then how to report that.
Correct.
Got it. Okay, that's interesting. So here we are. What is the current status of the project?
So the board has approved the issuance of an exposure draft containing proposals that would replace the guidance in Statement 56 related to subsequent events. It
mm-hmm.
includes these things that we've just been talking
right.
about, the definitions and the disclosure requirements.
Right.
And so the document, the exposure draft, will be out for public comment during its due process period.
Yep. And what do you want to hear back from stakeholders who have a chance to comment?
Sure. Well, at a high level, you know, are these proposals, will they improve our existing literature? Are the proposals clear? What are the costs and benefits to your specific organization of implementing mm-hmm. these requirements? You know, we can't claim to know all of the specific facts and circumstances, so how it really affects your specific government is helpful, too, for us to understand.
Yep. Yep. And I know there's always a deadline for comments. What is the deadline for this particular exposure draft?
So February 21st, 2025. You can believe it, 2025 is
we're almost
right
there.
Around the corner. So.
Yep. Great. And so the board will receive the comments in late February. What happens then? What would the next steps be? And what do you expect? I know you can't say anything for certain, but what do you expect the timeline for this project would look like?
So there'll be a redeliberative period. We'll evaluate all of the feedback, consider that, and then an expected final statement in the fourth quarter of 2025, according to the current timeline.
Very good. That's great. Is there anything else you want to share with stakeholders about this this project at this point?
Really, just our overall goal is creating that more consistent and comparable information, something that's understandable to our stakeholders and getting the better information into the hands of users. So we look forward to the feedback on the proposals from our stakeholders.
That's great. Well, Emily, it's been wonderful having you here on Bridging the Gap and to talk about this really helpful project. And we'll see you again real soon.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you all so much for tuning in with us to this episode of Bridging the Gap. We hope you'll join us again, and please be sure to visit gasby.org/podcast to subscribe and to stay updated on future episodes. You can also follow the Gasby on LinkedIn, Facebook, and X, previously Twitter. Bridging the Gap is a production of the Financial Accounting Foundation, produced by myself, Eileen Foley, and brought to audiovisual life by Patrick Dorsman. So until next time, keep balancing those books, crunching those numbers, and embracing the art of financial reporting.